So this is how it starts, from the bottom of a broken heart. Just like the saying goes, as above, well you know what they say. Now cast shadows on the trees, hammer them onto me.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. And that music that you just heard is from a band called Cold Country. It's from their EP, the fall EP. And the guy behind that band is Sean McConnell, and he joins me live in studio. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks very much.
Good to meet you, man. So let's talk a little bit first around about you've got a song coming out called Sweet Dreams.
Put that out a couple weeks ago.
And you put it out on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk a little bit about that. Have you always sort of like been a vinyl aficionado? Is it something that you're just experimenting with and see what happens?
No, I've been really into vinyl for a while now. I didn't grow up on vinyl necessarily.
Right.
But definitely since I've gotten really passionate about music, especially once I got into the sonic thing and became an audio engineer and got really into making music and producing music.
Yeah.
I learned about the differences in the fidelity and how it's made, and since then I've just been really into vinyl.
Yeah. It's a difficult process and a pretty expensive one too.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm learning that side of it now as well.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of places that press records.
No.
So where did you go to get yours done?
Well, this was done through the booking agency I work with. They started like this little label off to the side, and the single was pressed through them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a full length being re-released on vinyl in August called Willow, and that's being done through United.
Okay.
Record pressing. They're in Nashville.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So, do you find that there are a lot of people who are interested in the vinyl? And
yeah, and from my experience, I haven't had experience selling vinyl myself, except now the single,
mm-hmm.
and soon with the full length. But as far as going to shows, I won't buy a CD. I'll only buy the vinyl.
Yeah.
CDs are almost like junk to me
at
this point. Because, you know, you get the download too. So why would you?
Sure. You know? I mean, that's what everybody's going to now, you know.
Yeah.
I was watching a show called the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix.
It's a good one.
It's a good show. And there's a scene where they're trying to find a cassette holder.
Yeah.
You know, the old cassette holders.
And he has to build it.
He has to build it. Exactly right, man. And I thought of that, like, how we don't have that anymore. Nobody has a CD tower in their house anymore.
Nope.
Everything is on your computer or on your phone.
Now we're back to the crates.
The crates full of albums. Exactly.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, man.
I do.
I think that's really cool.
A lot.
You grew up in Phoenix.
I did.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was good. It was pretty normal. You know, not, you know, I grew up, it's a valley, you know? So I say the valley and people are like, oh, you're from LA?
From LA,
and
yeah.
I'm like, oh no, sorry,
the other valley. The valley in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very hot, which is, you know. But it's a dry heat. Yeah. Well, I don't care.
It's still hot, man.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah.
When you're frying eggs on your dashboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but pretty normal, like, suburban upbringing, mm-hmm. you know. We lived in North Phoenix, which is just, it's just a sprawl, you know, lots of neighborhoods, lots of shopping centers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. And what's the music scene like there?
Well, before I left, growing up, I wasn't aware of a music scene, and really there wasn't much of one.
Yeah.
As far as I knew, there's probably stuff going on in Central Phoenix, like in the city, but I didn't know much about it. When I went back after moving to Chicago a couple years, I met back up with friends I hadn't met in a couple years, and they were just super involved in this scene, which was really fresh at the time downtown. And now it's really good.
Cool.
There's some bands doing really great stuff, and it's still, you know, it's almost like a small downtown community that's, you know, everyone's going to everyone's shows and, you know,
that's
making
records.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, hang on, okay, because we got a break for the news. And this is Sean McConnell. He is from the band Cold Country. We're going to hear some live music in just a couple of seconds, but we got a break for the news. Thank you. Morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the show. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. Pete Trabuco is going to join us. Summer pretty much officially starts this weekend. And he is a vacation expert and the author of America's Top Roller Coasters. And he's going to tell us all about some of the cool stuff you can do this summer. And our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can text in your choices for songs and artists for Wildcard Wednesday, which we'll kick off in a little bit. My guest right now, and that music that you just heard, is from a band called Cold Country, and Sean McConnell from that band is here in studio. How you doing, Sean?
Doing well.
Good, man. So tell me a little bit about your influences. What did you listen to when you were younger?
When I was younger, like really small.
Yeah.
Disney soundtracks.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, when I was real small, yeah. Before. And oldies. My parents, my dad listened, like if we were in the car, it was always the oldies station. Mm-hmm. Early on, I just heard a lot of oldies stuff from like the 50s and 60s, and then that eventually became classic rock.
Yeah.
You know, and even well into high school, I didn't get into all the new stuff everyone was listening to. I was just obsessed with, you know, the Beatles and the Doors and Led Zeppelin and all that stuff.
You know, the classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I'm probably a bit older than you. I'll be 51 in July. And so when that stuff was out, it was just rock.
Right.
When I was a kid.
Right.
It became classic rock as I got older, which is, you know, which is kind of interesting.
And even on the every now and again, I hear on the classic rock station a song. I'm like, that's classic rock? Man, that was like a 90s song.
Well, you know, man, the first time I had like an FM rock, you know, sort of classic rock station on and I heard Pearl Jam on a classic rock station, I was come on.
Here we
go. I'm like 150 years old. Yeah. When did you start playing music? Did you start with guitar or?
I did start with guitar, and it was, I'm pretty sure it was sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
So maybe a little later than, you know, some people. I tried picking it up in grade school, but I didn't really have the patience to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't get me to practice. And later on, I became obsessed with the classic rock music. And then I was like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted, that's all I wanted to do was play guitar. Do
people in your family play music?
Nope.
Nobody does.
My mom is a huge lover of music. I mean, I think I get my musical spirit from her. And even though she doesn't play an instrument, she has kept up with every decade. She was there and she was listening to that music.
Yeah.
She like really grew up with all of it, you know, and changed with it. So
that's cool. You got siblings?
One younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you ever like influenced, has your younger brother been influenced by you at all? Did you say, hey, this is a really cool album. Try this out.
Early on, we listened to a lot of the same stuff. We were so close that it's like whatever I was into, he was into.
Yeah.
And then as it goes in high school, you start to become individuals of your own. And he just got into a totally different thing than I did.
Yeah.
And I'd throw something his way every now and then that he likes, but we listen to very different music.
Yeah. Now, when did you start to be interested in the actual behind the scenes, the technical stuff, the recording process? When did that become interesting for you?
Early in college, I went through this post-punk phase, and I got super into Joy Division. It's this early post-punk band. And I hadn't heard anything like that. It was the first time I heard a band, and I was like, how did it sound like that? Like, how'd you get that sound?
Yeah.
And then I started doing a lot of reading because I was obsessed with it, and I learned that a big part of their history as a band was their engineer. And so you got to read about all the stuff he did in the studio, and then that got me very conscious of like, oh, there's a studio, and like this, how this is made.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, I want to do that.
You ever see the movie 24-Hour Party People?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yep. I just wanted to make sure you
saw. I saw them all.
Well, 24-Hour Party People. Like a very quick funny story about 24-Hour Party People. As you know, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. The great Steve Coogan is in that movie, and
amazing.
He is just one of the greatest people on the planet. But it's a very unusual movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's structured very strangely. It's kind of all over the map. Yep. Remember the first time I saw it here at the Three Penny Cinema, no longer exists on Lincoln Avenue. Three Penny Cinema, by the way, is now Lincoln Hall.
Oh, okay.
That's what Lincoln Hall is. So there used to be a movie theater there.
Yeah.
So I go and see it, and I loved it. I thought it was great, but something weird happened. And I went out afterwards, and I said to the manager, I said, you know, I think somebody screwed up the reels, the order of the reels. On the movie, because I think, you know, one character was dead but showed up earlier, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I was like, it's a very unusual movie anyway, so like the narrative structure is nuts.
Yep.
So I went out and I said, I think maybe reel 4 and reel 5 are mixed up. I think reel 5 is before reel 4. I think somebody screwed it up. And she's like, really? And I'm like, I think so. I don't know. It's a weird movie, but I think that's what happened. So then I left. And then I saw the movie again when it came out on video, and I was right. And I was right.
Oh, they really did.
They did. No, they screwed up. They messed up the reels.
Wow.
And then years later, I'm at the Green Mill Bar, and I'm having a drink with some people after hours, and we're sitting at the end of the bar, and there's a girl there. And I tell her, because she said she was a projectionist. We start talking, I'm a movie freak. So I start telling her the story about how I went to the Three Penny, and I saw 24-Hour Party People, and then I pointed out that the reels were messed up. And she dropped her drink and went, "That was you?" Because it was her. She was the manager that I went to. And she's like, "That was you? I can't believe that." And evidently, no one else ever came up. It was like 2 weeks into the run of the movie.
No one else noticed.
And came up. I was the only person who noticed.
Damn.
Now, it's a weird movie, and I can understand that. Yeah. But anyway, that movie's about that whole music
right,
scene.
Right, that whole scene.
You got into that scene and then decided to take engineering and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it was just the time in music where it's like the new technology was coming out. You had synthesizers and all this new technology.
Yeah.
And everybody was experimenting fully with it, including the studios and the engineers and producers. And I just became really into that.
What are some of your favorite sort of like produced records or like sonically, what really blows your mind?
All the Joy Division stuff.
Yeah.
Gang of Four, their first album, Entertainment, was a big deal. Also, these were all bands. A lot of this stuff isn't always easy to listen to. I liked it for the experimental quality for it. And some of it was pretty harsh. And then just like a lot of the new wave stuff that came after that, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say, you know, it's shameless. I love pop music too. So.
You should, man.
Yeah.
You're in a safe place.
Yeah.
You're in a safe place, Sean. Some of the produced records that stand out for me. I mean, you can go into the Beatles, you can go into Beach Boys and stuff like that. I mean, that's obviously legendary stuff. And the fact that they had to do that on 8-track and stuff is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But like some of the most beautifully produced records I've ever heard by Steely Dan. The music, I mean, like if you listen to Asia by Steely Dan, that is a monumentally beautifully recorded record. Those guys are amazing.
And I remember listening to that one in high school, and that's another one. I found that one through my mom.
Yeah.
She had it on CD, and I was getting in all this classic rock stuff, and she's like, "Well, here, have this one too."
Yeah.
And I listened to it. I was just like, "Oh, this is strange."
You know,
a lot jazzier too, so it didn't sound like a lot of the other stuff I was listening to.
And again, that's a very polarizing band. Steely Dan, because people either hate them or love them.
Yeah,
I happen to love them.
Yeah.
Wait, now the band is called Cold Country, and what I'm hearing here is that there's a big country influence here. When did that happen?
Well, I'm influenced by a lot of different things, and people a lot of the time they think it's a country thing, and there is some country and there's a lot of folk in the roots of the songwriting.
Yeah.
But as far as the production goes, I have a hard time thinking that it sounds like it's
The second song that we played.
Yeah. And that's me using the lap steel, and so that kind of gives it that country vibe. It's like a spacey.
But the production
country.
Sounded weird. I mean, not I don't mean that as it sounded bad. I'm just saying it's very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that kind of instrument.
Yeah.
Filtered that way and it sounds that way. Yeah. That's pretty unique.
And that's what I'm into. I like using my influences the best I can, not just carbon copying what everyone's done, you know, and trying to just get that sound I'm hearing in my head.
Cool. All right, well, let's hear a song, man.
All right.
Tell us what song we're going to hear and go at it.
I'm going to play a song called When We Were Young.
When We Were Young. Okay, cool. Well, this is Sean McConnell from the band Cold Country. By the way, they got a gig at Ginger Man on June 9th. We can give you more details on that. All right, man, take it away.
Young, I couldn't wait to grow up like I was racing to an early grave. Now that I'm older, got the world on my shoulders, all I wish is that I could have stayed. My mother told me I could be what I wanted if I'd only get my ass out of bed. Mama, I'm trying just as best as I can to do some living here before I'm dead. And all that I know, I got a ways to go before I'm there. It
told me in school I'd have to play by the rules if I was ever to get out ahead. So I played by the rules, and here I sit like a fool, just a trying to keep myself well fed. And all I want to do is move to the country and start a new life with you. We could have a garden, maybe one or two daughters, and raise a couple chickens too. Or we could grow just like in the stories told when we were young. And all that I know, it don't matter where I go, as long as you're there. And all I want to do is move to the country and start a new life with you. We could have a garden, maybe one or two daughters, and raise a couple chickens too. Ah, we could grow just like in the stories told.
Really nice, man.
Thank you.
Really, really nice. Yeah, that's great stuff, man. Let's take a quick break, okay, man? We'll come back. That's Sean McConnell, and the band is called Cold Country. They got a gig June 9th at the Gingerman. And that's right on Clark, right by Wrigley. And check it out. And we want to talk a little bit more about Sweet Dreams, which is now available on 7-inch vinyl. All the information for the band and for Sean is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. More coming up after this. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. You're hearing Cold Country, and that is a song called Sweet Dreams, and that's S-U-I-T-E, Sweet Dreams. Sean McConnell from the band Cold Country is here, and that has just been released on 7-inch vinyl.
Yep.
And tell me a little bit about that song.
That song, I did an early demo of it months back. And I didn't have much of a plan for it. You know, I was just kind of writing it as I went. And then sonically, it started really coming together, you know, and I got it written out. And then I'm starting to work on a new record, a new full length. And it just kind of had this sound. I'm like, I think this is where the direction that this is, all this stuff is going.
Yeah.
So while I'm still writing and producing what will be the second Cold Country full length, I wanted to put that song out as soon as I could because I just wanted to share it. I hadn't put... You know, we released our EP, but I hadn't released – that was like a B-sides thing.
Mm.
Songs that had been around a little while. And I hadn't put out anything that was just brand new. And so I was excited to get that out.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And the fact that it's on vinyl. Now, people can get it – can they get it through your website? There's a link on your website.
There is. Yeah. Yeah. And right now you can – if you order or purchase the 7-inch, it comes with the download. So that's the best way to get the digital copy right now.
Right.
And then soon it'll be available for purchase through the web, through my website.
All right. And your website, by the way, is linked up on our Facebook page. So people can just go facebook.com/Nick D Show and they could find it there. And you were telling me off the air that you were with a certain group of people,
mm-hmm.
and performers and artists that you kind of were lucky enough to see because you're an engineer, you're a producer.
Mm-hmm.
That you were like, oh, this guy's good, this woman's good, let's get them. And so you kind of had your cream of the crop that you can pick from.
Yep, yep. Yeah.
And that's got to be cool.
It was. It was great to just, in my first year or two here, meet a bunch of folks who were just really ambitious and really talented. And then when it came time to do my thing, I was just like, oh, I'll just take my pick. And,
yeah.
It, you know, it's all about you hope they're interested. And they all heard it and they're like, yeah, let's do this.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And what's your writing process like?
Up till now, it really has been a lot of, like, I start with the song, you know, I write it, on the guitar, and then I take it into the studio, or I record it that way. It's starting to shift a lot. This new record's going to be a lot different because I'm kind of writing them as I go. I'm almost recording them first and then writing them out.
I see.
It's just kind of almost doing it backwards.
Right.
And it hasn't always been one way or the other, but the shift is happening.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. I always ask two questions that I always ask musicians when they come in. And it's just something that I do every time somebody comes in. The first album you ever bought. What was the first album you ever bought? And it's like with your allowance or whatever, like the first album you went out and got. Can you remember it?
This might not be accurate, but it was definitely very early on. And I remember it's like one of the first CDs I hadn't listened to a lot. It was Chumbawamba.
Oh, man. Chumbawamba. Yeah. They were hot for 15 minutes.
Yeah, or it might have been the
Savage Garden. The Chumbawamba, what was it? He drinks a whiskey drink, right?
Yeah. It was like, I get knocked out.
Yeah, that's it.
But the other one I loved, it was a deep cut. It was like
drip, a Chumbawamba deep cut.
Yeah, drip, drip, drip. It was like drip, drip, drip. Goes the water. It's all really bad.
That's fantastic. Okay, first concert you ever went to?
My mom took us to a lot of the big classic rock concerts early on. I'm trying to remember one of the first ones. I don't think it was the first one, but one that stands out in my head. It was Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Tom Petty at the Gilbert Arena in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
And that was the time we were going to see – I got to see Paul McCartney there, The Who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw all these great acts that came through there. But he was earlier on.
That's cool to have a parent who you know – my dad turned me on to Cream when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, here, check this out. This is called White Room. And I went, huh?
Yeah.
And I got to see a lot of them. You know, I started going to concerts at a very young age. Yeah. So, you know, I saw Zeppelin twice and, Jethro Tull and all the classics.
That's awesome.
All of them.
I have Disraeli Gears on vinyl.
Phenomenal record.
Love it.
Phenomenal. All right, let's hear another song, man. Tell us what we're going to hear.
All right. We're going to hear one that's off the Fall EP.
The Fall EP. Okay.
It's called To Providence.
Okay. To Providence. And this is Sean McConnell. And the band is called Cold Country. They will be playing on June 9th at the Gingerman. The Sweet Dreams 7-inch vinyl is available. All the stuff is on our Facebook page if you go to facebook.com/NickDShow. So here again is Sean McConnell from Cold Country.
Those stars, they seem so far away. So for now, I'll just dream of the day. Someday I will leave this 9 to 5. Oh, I've been told there are better things to do with my time. And I will cross every highway, every street, till every place I've ever been is home to me. But those places, they seem so far away. So for now, I'll just dream. Those dreams, they seem so far away. So for now, I'll just keep dreaming my life away.
That's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
That's really great. Wow. Sean McConnell from the band Cold Country. You're great, man. You really are.
Appreciate it. I'm glad to be on the show.
Ginger Man, June 9th, and you can get all the information about that stuff on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Real pleasure having you on, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next on WGN.